Well, let's get into our exopolitics in the presence here. Dr. Michael Sala, first of all, give us a little definition difference between ufology and exopolitics. What's really the difference?
Well, ufology really does deal with that empirical side of the whole phenomenon of UFOs, looking at the material evidence and being able to test it, being able to have different laboratory analysis done on that and various examinations of whatever photographic or film evidence exists and be able to reach some sort of conclusion about how real this phenomenon is. Whereas exopolitics moves beyond that. It basically starts with the premise that the evidence suggesting that extraterrestrials are here is overwhelming, that the general public are looking for real guidance into exactly what are the political processes underlying that. And so exopolitics really begins to look at the key actors, the institutions, the processes that all are involved with the cover-up of ETs and the various government agreements that make that possible.
Okay, and you back off your phone, Michael, if you would, just a little bit, because you're popping a little bit when you talk, okay, if you can. Let's, for this discussion this evening, let's make the assumption that we've been visited, we are being visited, that they are here. And let's create a discussion, Paula, around that. The fact that all this has been going on, when do we get the disclosure that so many people have been calling for or predicting? When does it happen?
It's happening, I think, right now. I mean, you started by talking about the difference between exopolitics and ufology. Ufology has done the groundwork. I mean, we have so many sightings, we don't need to go on and on and on with the sightings and the close encounters of the second kind and the physical traces cases. And my friend Alan Hynek did a good job putting together all the research on this. I think what Michael's done, and thank God Michael's come on the scene, is talked about the actual contact. Okay, we know this is real. We know this has happened. And I think later on, George, we can talk about some actual cases.
Absolutely.
Because I'd like to talk about the Billy Meyer case.
Sure.
And the Charles Hall case. We know this has happened. We know that there are extraterrestrials. We know there's been meetings. We know we've hosted some of them. We know this is happening. Now, what are the implications for planet Earth? I think that what Michael is doing is bringing this one step further out to think about the implications, which is what I think I'm interested in as an educator. Now, some people may be interested in how the thing works and the technology, and we want the technology and the propulsion system. But as a sociologist, as an educator, as educators, because we're both in education, both Michael and I are in education, we're wondering what the implications for our children, our children's children's children are, and we're wondering what this actually means. I'm going to be writing an article calling Taking Ufology Out of the Dark Ages, because if we remain only on sightings and we remain only on contact or abductions and we remain only there, we're never going to get anywhere. But you asked me a question about when's this going to happen? It's happening tonight.
Well,
I think it's happening every time you get some people that come forth, like in the case of Charles Hall, like in the case of Billy Meyer, like in the case of Clifford Stone, like in the case of Colonel Corso. Every time these people come out and tell the truth, you are adding pieces to the puzzle. You are getting a clear picture because these people are credible witnesses, and then the people that want to will put it together.
But see, I want to see a United Nations or a presidential statement or something from the White House or from the UN on a dark, eerie night where they come out and they make this announcement. To me, that's when full disclosure really occurs. I mean, we will have witness testimony and whistleblowers, but I want to see our government leaders come forward and say, here, this is what's going on. And to me, Paula, there's several reasons why that might not have occurred yet. One is they really have this, and I don't know which it is, but they really have this belief that there could be worldwide panic. The second is the loss of control, you know, when all of a sudden we Earthlings believe that there's another group that is a little more intelligent than we are, sophisticated. We may not want to listen to governments. We may want to listen to the extraterrestrials. Another possible reason, these extraterrestrials could be harming us. They could be experimenting on us, and they're, again, that's part of the panic. And then the other reason, I thought, Paula, was the possibility that if we were told that they're there, then our question would be, then why aren't you giving us the technology, the cheaper energy, or the cleaner energy, or the freer energy? And that's another possibility. Or it could be all of the above. What do you think, Paula?
It's all of the above, George. You just hit the whole gamut of reasons. I think anybody that is intelligent that's trying to figure this out, it's all of the gamut. Everything you're telling me, the only thing that I'm thinking of is maybe the disclosure will not be in the hands of the government. Maybe the disclosure will be given to the people, and maybe the agenda is in the hands of the ET. But I think we should ask Michael about this.
Absolutely. And Michael, again, with those reasons, do you believe it's all of the above as well?
Definitely all of those, and I think what we do need to understand about disclosure is that it's not an event, one single announcement by a government agency or politician. It's actually a process, and what helps us understand the disclosure process is that along that process there are many points at which the government or those who are in control of the disclosure process can evaluate the reaction of the general public. So they can get someone like Philip Corso to come forward, release his memoirs, and see what the reaction is. They can get other whistleblowers like Clifford Stone to give their testimonies. And again, they sit back and look at the reactions. And this way, by allowing or encouraging whistleblowers, former employees to come forward, give disclosure of their experiences, what the government is able to do is get feedback as to where exactly the government is and how where the general population is and how quickly they need to move on this acclimation. Now, of course, they're moving very slowly for the reasons that you cited, and I think that this new case that Paula has done the groundbreaking research on, which is Charles Hall, is just one more example of another whistleblower coming forward with some pretty startling revelations, and that is part of this disclosure process.